This morning we'd like to draw your attention to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 17. 2 Chronicles 20, 17. King Jehoshaphat has called upon the Lord for help. God answers him through the prophet Jahaziel. And through the prophet, the Lord said, "You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, just stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." When Jehoshaphat became the king over Judah, he walked in the ways of the Lord. He instituted certain spiritual reforms, and God blessed Judah, and God blessed Jehoshaphat, and the nation was strengthened under his reign. However, they are now faced with a tremendous threat. The three nations to the east have confederated together, have joined forces, and have sent their armies to destroy Judah. And so they have already crossed the Dead Sea. They are in the area of En-Gedi, ready to make the charge up the valley of Jehoshaphat in their attack of Jerusalem and in their destruction of Judah. Hearing the word that Moab, Ammon, and the people of Mount Seir are invading his land, he realizes that Judah is no match at all for these combined forces. They are facing an enemy that is stronger and more powerful. Humanly speaking, they're as good as gone. Any one of these nations would make a formidable, difficult foe. Combined together, there is no way that they could stand against them. It's an impossible situation. Sooner or later, in our lives, we are going to come to those situations that are beyond our capacity to deal with them or to cope with them. We come to situations that are impossible for us, where it seems like defeat is the only assured thing, where the enemy is so strong and so powerful, the forces that are against us are so great that there is no human way out of our dilemma. The Bible tells us that as Christians, we are faced against the forces of the world, the flesh, and the devil. These are formidable foes. Any one of them constitutes a real problem for us as Christians, but combined together, there is no human way that we can know victory. For the powers and the desires of our flesh, attracted to the fallen world, and these pressed on by Satan, are enough to destroy any of us. What do you do when you know that you're over your head, when you know that you are drowning, when you know that the situation is beyond your capacity to deal with it, how do you save yourself? At this point in life, many people turn to the bottle. They try to escape the problem by escaping into a mind that is fuzzed and fogged by the alcohol. And they feel that that's the only way they can cope with it is to drink. They cannot face the realities of life, and so they drink in order to cope. But so often, by turning to the bottle, you are not solving the problem, only creating new problems, which many times are greater than the first. The same is true of drugs. Many people take the cruel and the selfish way out by committing suicide. It's extremely cruel because it leaves the friends and the family so totally devastated. Jehoshaphat the king took the prayer way out of his situation. He called upon the Lord. And Jehoshaphat's prayer is recorded for us, beginning with verse 6. And the first thing we note is his address of his prayer. And I might say that the address of the prayer is probably one of the most important things about your prayer. Who are you addressing your prayer to? He addresses his prayer to the God of our fathers, the God who dwells in heaven. That is, to the true and the living God. Now, when a person cries out, "My God," you never know who they are talking about. They might be talking about the bottle, because that's the God of many people. They might be talking about a fancy little sports car that they have. That is the master passion of their lives, more important to them than anything else. They might be addressing their bank account, for that has become the God of many people. On the other hand, many times a person is just addressing his own desires, his own lust. When you say, "Oh my God," to whom are you referring? Who is your God? It's very easy to observe a person's God by just observing their lives, and soon you can see what is the controlling passion of that person. Many people address their prayers to their friends. Rather than to God, they turn to their friends for help. And many times your friends are only able to give you sympathy, and they won't give you that very long if you keep bugging them with your problem. They'll begin to seek to avoid you. And when they hear that you're on the phone, they'll say, "Tell them I'm busy." And they just have too many problems of their own to have you constantly laying your problem on them. But Jehoshaphat addressed his prayer to the God of our fathers, the God who dwells in heaven. You're the one that we're calling on for our help. And then he said, and he recognized, "In your hand there is power and there is might. Lord, we're calling on you because you have the power and you have the might to help us. No one," he said, "is able to withstand you." It's important as you pray to recognize that God is sufficient. We don't have the strength, Lord. We don't have the power to go out against these combined armies. But you have the power. You have the might. And no man can withstand you. You are greater than our foes. And then he went on to say, you drove out the nations that were in this land, and you gave this land unto our fathers because of your promise to Abraham, your friend. And you promised to give them this land forever. So, Lord, we come to you because you have the strength and the power and the might to deliver us, and you've promised us this land because of Abraham, your friend. And then we have built this sanctuary to your name. Now, when he was praying, he no doubt was standing in the temple that Solomon had built. The multitudes of the nation, the leaders of Judah, had gathered together with him there in Benjamin. And as he is standing there in the sanctuary praying, he said, Lord, we have built this place, this sanctuary, to your name. And when it was built, Solomon, as he dedicated it and prayed, said, Father, if the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine comes upon us, and we stand before this house and cry unto you, then hear from your place in heaven and deliver your people. So, Lord, here we are, just like it says. We have the sword that's come against us. We've got a plague, Lord. We've got a problem. And so we're standing here in the temple calling unto you, Lord, crying out to you. And as Solomon said, when they do that, Lord, hear from heaven and deliver. And Lord, we need your help. And then he made an all-important confession. He said, Lord, we have no might against them, and we don't know what to do. He confessed his own inability, his own weakness. Lord, I can't do it. Lord, we can't do it. We just don't have it. It's so very important. When faced with serious problems, that we come to that acknowledgement that I cannot do it. I just don't have the power to do it. In the Alcoholics Anonymous program, that is one of the important initial steps. To confess that you have a problem and to confess that you don't have the ability to solve your problem. And that is what forces you to seek a higher power for your help. I've come to the acknowledgement that I can't do it, and now I'm forced to seek the help of God in this situation. You see, so often, a person who has problems with drinking or problems with drugs, they become tremendous con artists. They con their families. They con their friends. And they know every trick in the book. And they have every excuse and every alibi. And they are so geared towards this position of conning people that tragically they ultimately con themselves, which only causes the problem to just continue on. It isn't a solution. They say, I can quit anytime I want. I'm in control. I know that I am got a problem here, but I can handle it. I can just stop anytime I wish. And they've conned themselves into believing that. And thus their problem is perpetuated rather than solved. Now, for years, I knew I was out of shape. And I kept conning myself, saying, I can get in shape anytime I want. I can just, you know, start punching the bag again and jumping rope and jogging, and I can just shape up anytime I want. Now I'm facing reality. And just, man, I'm out of shape and there's nothing I can do about it. Having to face the truth about my condition. But it's interesting how that so often people won't acknowledge that they can't do it. And they're constantly looking for one more method, one more way, one more formula that I can put into action and I can then solve my situation. And we're always looking for that secret that will bring me success. Rather than just honestly confessing, God, it's gone too far. It's beyond me. There's nothing I can do, and where I am forced to seek the help of God. And so in his prayer, he acknowledges the power of God and he acknowledges the weakness of himself. He calls to God for help, and God answers. God sent the prophet Jahaziel with a message. The message is this: be not afraid or dismayed. Now, it says that he was filled with fear. So God says, okay, now don't be afraid. And he said, he confessed, I don't know what to do. I'm dismayed. God said, don't be dismayed. God's first words often to us are, don't be afraid or fear not. When we're faced with these kind of monumental problems, our hearts usually are filled with fear. That's an environment that is difficult for faith to work in. So God's first words are often, don't be afraid. In fact, 54 times in the Bible, God said, don't be afraid. Over 60 times, God said, fear not. These are words that are important to us. And so God said, now look, don't be afraid and don't be dismayed. God said, the battle is not yours, but God's. What a comfort it is when you seek the help of God to realize that God will fight the battles for you. God said, you will not have to fight this battle. Just stand still and watch God's salvation. The Lord will be with you. So this is God's word and God's promise. The armies of Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir had gathered in the area of the Dead Sea. In fact, they were at En Gedi. The Dead Sea is in what is known as the Syro-African Rift, a great valley that has been created, they think, by an earthquake at some time in history. The floor of the valley, well, the Dead Sea, is at 1,200 feet below sea level. And on the sides of the valley are these sheer cliffs, some 2,000 feet to 2,500 feet above the area of the Dead Sea, these sheer cliffs going up. And in the area of En Gedi, up behind, there are these cliffs that just are rock cliffs. And on the top of them are these plains, and you can come and then you can look down into the valley and you get a tremendous view of the Dead Sea, of the Jordan Valley and all. From the top, you can just look right over the edge and see everything that's going on down below you. And the Lord said to Jehoshaphat, now just bring the troops down past Tekoa and bring them to the edge that they can look down. And just stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord. For the battle is not yours, but God's. I wonder what they felt at the promise of the prophet. You see, when we call upon God for help, we're usually looking for God to give us a formula, something that we can do to help ourselves out of this mess. I want God to give me 10 steps out of my problem. Give me something to do, Lord. Show me what to do. And so often God says, do nothing. Just stand still and let me work. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. This battle isn't yours, it's God's. The reason why God so often wants us just to stand and let him work completely is that if God would lay out the formula for me, whereby I could get through this problem, then I'll be wanting to market my formula. Yes, I know your problem. I had that problem, but I found these 10 steps, and for $100, I'll send you the 10 steps, you know, and you too can be a thinner you. And we're looking for some new program, something that I can do so that when I come out victorious, I can say, well, now I had that problem too, friend. I know what you're going through. Well, let me tell you how I did it, you know. And I'm wanting to boast in my efforts and in my abilities. But God doesn't allow me that option of boasting. He says, look, you just stand back and watch me work. So that the net effect of that is when it's all through, I can only give glory to God. I can't go around bragging what I am or what I have done. All I can do is say, oh, thank God. He saw my helplessness. He saw my hopelessness, and he reached down and he helped me and he delivered me. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So that's what God said to them. Look, you're not going to have to fight this battle. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. You just go down and watch me. Watch what I do. Having received the message, King Jehoshaphat fell on his face before the Lord and worshiped God. The people followed the king, also falling on their faces and worshiping God. And the priests stood there praising the Lord because his mercy endures forever. They accepted the word of God and they began to praise the Lord because of God's promise of deliverance. Here is a real key to faith. Number one, don't be afraid. Fear is an environment in which faith cannot operate. Number two, believe the promise of God and begin to praise the Lord. And true belief will praise. True faith can praise the promise. The enemy's still there. The enemy's still preparing to advance up the valley and to attack, to destroy Judah. But here we are praising the Lord. We're still outnumbered. We're still outmanned. It's still hopeless as far as humanly speaking is concerned. But God has promised that he's going to fight this battle and deliver the enemy. Oh, praise the Lord. And begin to praise the Lord for his promise of help and deliverance for you. And so the next morning, Jehoshaphat went out leading the troops of Israel. But they set before the armies these men to sing praises unto the Lord. And so as they came through the area of Tekoa, just south and east of Bethlehem, that valley that goes down around the Herodian towards the Dead Sea, as they were going down that way to where they could get the view of the valley below and of these forces of the Ammonites and the Moabites and the Edomites, they were being led by these men just praising the Lord and singing praises unto the Lord, songs of victory and praise. And so they came to the edge of the cliff and they looked down and they saw those armies down there ready to attack them. But instead of attacking them, there came a disagreement, and the armies of Moab and Ammon began to attack the armies of Edom. And the armies of Moab and Ammon wiped out the Edomites, killed them all. And having killed off the Edomites, then the armies of Ammon and Moab began to fight each other. And they destroyed each other. And they watched that battle all day long as the armies destroyed each other, until finally there were nothing but all these corpses lying out there in the plain below them. Everyone was dead. They wiped out each other. And then they went down and began to take the spoils, grab the shields and the spears and all of this. And it took them 3 days to haul off the spoils of God's victory. Tremendous. God worked in an impossible situation in a very interesting way. God has so many interesting ways to work out our difficulties and work out our problems. How important it is when we are faced with those dilemmas, those difficult places in life where we don't know the answer, where we have no solution, where it looks like it is hopeless, how important that we reach out to God, that we pray. And when we pray, that we pray to the eternal, true and living God, the creator of heaven and earth. And that we realize that he is powerful and he is sufficient. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And then when God speaks and assures of his victory, that we then begin to just praise the Lord as we let God work. And then we can just step in and take the spoils. We can enter into that victory that God has wrought, and we reap the benefits of what God has wrought for us. There's the key to experiencing God's victory in those problems that you face in life. Shall we pray? Father, help us today to recognize our own limitations and to confess our inabilities. In order, Lord, that we might rely upon you, knowing that you are able, that you are sufficient, that you can do it. And Lord, we rejoice today in your promise of help. For unto us are given exceeding rich and precious promises, and by these we are made partakers of your divine nature. Help us today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. As I look at the problems of our society today, so often I'm prone to say, oh man, there's just no way out. There's nothing we can do about these gang problems in LA. You know, put a bunch of police out there, but still the problems exist. What can we do about this? What can we do about that? And you're prone to just say, oh, you know, hopeless. Oh, that we would learn to pray. Seek God. Now, some of you today have come because you have a problem that you really don't know what to do with. And a friend has suggested, well, why don't you try God? And so you're here today for that purpose, just to, well, it's sort of desperate. Don't know where to turn to try God. I'm glad you came. Because God is able to help you, and God will help you if you'll call upon Him. And I'd encourage you to go back to the prayer room. And there just call out to God for His help. For God will deliver you. And you can receive that assurance today that it's in God's hands. And you can just go your way and just trust in the Lord and watch God begin to work. As God takes up your cause and takes up the issue and begins to work in your behalf. Maybe you don't have any problems. Maybe life is just so smooth and you really just have it made. And, you know, you're just... Well, one day, sooner or later, you're going to be facing a problem that you're not going to have the answer. You're going to come to the end of your own resources and capacities. And you're going to need to call upon God. And I just encourage you to sort of mark this place down in your Bible so you'll have something to look to when that day comes. And you'll remember the keys of God's victory in your life. May the Lord be with you and bless you as you walk with Him this week. May He keep you by the power of His Spirit. And may He strengthen you by His Spirit in your inner person, that you might become all that God wants you to be. His servant, trusting Him, living in His victory.